good to see everyone gathering as a household of faith, really have a time where we really connect with the Father through worship and really appreciate Sarah about cost cutting. It warms my heart. I told her that you sound like a good Asian mom, you know, and I think God is always doing something in our midst as a people. As we gather, we must believe, we must have a sense of expectation, especially what Rina has shared. You know, changing link, crossing culture is one of those things in our journey of faith that sparks off us to something different. How many of you want this year to be different? You don't want the same old year. You want a change. You want something different. And perhaps this is one of the many things that's going to happen. It's not, as I say, it's not an event. It's not a program. But it is an activity that we gather and let the Spirit of God speak to us. You know, especially we've been talking about building lives and reaching lives. And this year, I think the Lord has asked us to focus on activation. How many of you want to be activated? You know, activated to something that, you know, it's not just about knowing your spiritual gifts and looking for opportunity, but you're asking, Lord, activate me, that I want to participate in the things of your kingdom. You know, many times when we serve the Lord, we often think that we must do a lot for God to find acceptance, but God is not asking us to do a lot of things for Him, but rather He invites us to do it with Him, which is easier. You do things for God or you do things with God. And this is what it means to do things with God. Jesus gives us example of how we can join Him in touching other people's life. So today, the law of words I'm going to use is about touching, about ministry, about healing. And the passage I want to bring us across is taken from the Gospel of Mark, in which there was a man who was suffering from leprosy. This is taken from the Gospel of Mark. It says, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I'm willing, he said. Be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Can you remember the time in your life, okay, it could happen to you, it could happen to someone you know, that something that you have witnessed or you heard, someone that you know or yourself, one of the most fantastic healing you ever seen? How many of you? All right, few of us. Right? Repeat one more time. Okay, some are slow. Okay. How many of you in your life have yourself experienced or someone that you know who will experience a powerful healing? Right, very good. Right, because many times some people think, oh, powerful healing only happens during mission trip. Especially go to Africa, especially go to Asia. But in Australia, we don't need powerful healing. Right, we got Medicare. Now, that is not the mindset we have. Rather, we must have this sense of God is always doing something. And many times we may say, wow, I don't see healing very often. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean God is not actively healing people. Right? Among us, I think some of our people here, some of you have powerful healing stories that God has touched your life. This was your breakthrough story. And we must believe God does not just heal, He wants to heal. Here was a leper. If you were suffering from leprosy in those days, it was an incurable sickness. You are deemed as a living dead because no one can help you. No doctors can help you. Your family members actually conduct a funeral service right in front of you and then send you away because you can't come near anybody. So do not think social distancing was a COVID thing. Social distancing was practiced long in scripture, in the biblical time. And when you are suffering from leprosy, you are slowly rotting away. You are losing your digits one by one. So in one sense, it was a very slow death, could drag on for 15 to 20 years. But somehow this man heard about Jesus and he came to Jesus and asked Jesus, if you are willing, you can heal me. He has no doubt Jesus can heal, but he doubts whether Jesus is willing. Now, many times when we pray for ourselves, we don't think God will answer our prayer. But when we pray for other people, we believe God will answer our prayer. Sometimes we have this mindset that God only works for other people, but God doesn't work for me. But here was Jesus. He came to minister to this man. And he knew Jesus can heal by reputation, but he was unsure whether he is willing to do it. And the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion. And the word compassion is about something deep inside your guts that you want to do something. I like another Bible translation. It says, Jesus was moved with indignant, with anger. Now, some scripture verses actually translate instead of compassion, but with anger. And I think the context is clear that Jesus was not angry at the man who asked to be healed. Rather, Jesus was angry at what the sickness has done to that person. And so when you see people who are suffering, sometimes, yes, we feel sorry for them. Sometimes there is a sense of sympathy. Sometimes there's a sense of mercy. But sometimes we need to have a kind of holy anger, a kind of indignant within our soul, in our spirit, that here is Satan coming to kill, right? To steal and to destroy. We must speak life. We must go and minister. And because this man was not simply suffering from a dreaded physical disease, he has been a victim of rejection and abandonment. And there are times we are like this man. We know God can do anything and everything, but we are doubtful that he will do something for us. We can sing and declare, God is mighty to save. But sometimes we can go leaving this place wondering whether he will truly save us. But Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the leper. And we know that when Jesus does that, according to the Levitical law, Jesus himself becomes unclean. Jesus, in order to make that man clean, he became unclean. And that we see the gesture of the gospel. We can see the action of Jesus was a living testimony of how the gospel at work. He who has no sin took our sin and he gave us his righteousness when we have no righteousness of our own. By touching that man, Jesus became unclean, and that is a picture of the atonement that was to come. And when a man was completely healed, he said to him, now go and show yourself to the priest, to show that now you can be restored, not just in terms of your health, but now you are restored back to your community. Because according to Levitical law, anyone that has been suffering from any dreaded skin diseases, including leprosy, they should be quarantined. There should be social distancing. But once they are healed, they should present themselves with so-called smooth baby skin. And then the priest will examine you and then restore you back to the community. But do you know in the Old Testament, there has never been a story of any Jewish person who ever been healed of leprosy. Historically, this was the very first time. And Jesus knew the law and said, now go and present yourself to the priest so that you may be restored. As I said last week, there is a difference between curing and healing. Curing can cure you of a certain condition, right? If you have a certain sickness, you are cured of the sickness. But doesn't mean there's healing. Healing is about wholeness. Wholeness is not just in terms of physical, but emotional, mental, spiritual, as well as social. That man was not just cured of leprosy. The man experienced healing. Because in that sense, we begin to see when Jesus sent him to be seen by the priest must judge whether this person is now so-called good enough to go back to the community. Often when we use the word judged in scripture, we always have a misunderstanding as believers. We always had this idea that God is the courtroom judge who will judge us whether we are guilty or not guilty. Or sometimes our idea of judge is like those talent show judge looking at your performance, like Simon Cowell, like looking at your performance and judge whether you are going to go to the next level. God is not a courtroom judge, neither is he a showroom judge. He's not a talent show judge. He doesn't look at us whether we are worthy or not worthy, or whether we perform well or not. In fact, the word judge, if you go back to the Old Testament, remember when Israel was going to trouble, right, the book of Judges say God raised what? Judges. And these judges were like the Old Testament Avengers. They were not sitting behind a courtroom. They were the people who were sent by God or raised by God to deliver their people out of bondages, of the enemies. Like Samson was raised, right, by God to rescue the people from the Philistines. Gideon was raised to rescue the people from the Amalekites. And so when we talk about the word judgment, it is very good for us. Means God is coming to deliver us. He's coming here to do what is right by us. He will do whatever it needs to be done to bring us justice. So when we ever talk about judgment in a new covenant, it is a wonderful thing. Because you and I, once we are believers in Christ, everything that we have, everything of who we are in Christ. And Christ has already judged all things. Amen? And so when you are going through any controversies in your life, you are going through any conundrum, any issue, you should say, God, you must judge me according to your covenant. You must judge me according to your kindness and your mercy. Because God, when you judge me, or you judge a situation in my life, I know you're going to bring restoration and deliverance. You will establish your justice as well. You will do all things right by me. What we can learn is this about the story of this man suffering from leprosy is God is always willing to heal. And God heals because of his deep compassion for those who are suffering. And so if you are suffering right now, whether physically, emotionally, whether mentally, and sometimes socially, God is here to bring healing, deliverance, and justice. But the Gospel of Mark begins with healing. It was powerful because about who Jesus is began to spread. And then the next text we have is about this woman who has an issue of blood. Let's look at the next text, please. It says here in Mark chapter 5, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years, right, with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she has what? Spent everything. So imagine, I don't know which town she may be in. Imagine he went to the north, to the south, to the east, and the west. Every clinic she went. And those didn't know about billing, right? So she spent all her money, but there was still no cure. If you were a woman in those days suffering from issue of blood, you were also deemed unclean. In fact, you should not be out of your house. You should quarantine yourself. That's why I say, well, we talk about quarantine or social distancing, but for this woman, for 12 years, there was a deep sense of emotional isolation. She could not be out, but she went out. Because why? She has heard about Jesus. Sometimes when we hear about Jesus, we must begin to shift what we are comfortable to do what is not comfortable. When we begin to hear about Jesus, we must begin to step out in faith. And sometimes stepping out in faith may not be the most convenient things to do. But here this woman went. And what happened was this. She has heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. So here was the leper. If you are willing, you heal me. Jesus said, I am willing. This woman doesn't want to ask. Because she's embarrassed, because she's ashamed, she shouldn't be out in public. And I tell you, when Jesus went into the city, I tell you, every doctor was out there. And of course, she doesn't want to ask Jesus because she'll be spotted. So he said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I just touch him. Her level of faith was that great that if I touch him, I know I'm going to be healed. And he says here that her faith did not go away in vain. He says, immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. This is the second lesson we must learn. God heals because of his constant willingness to respond to those who have faith. God heals. The first one, because of his deep compassion to those who are suffering. The second point, we must know that God heals because of his constant willingness to respond to those who have faith. Now, when we talk about having faith, that is where the problem lies for many of us. We say sometimes, I don't have enough faith. Well, the thing is, God doesn't expect you to have enough faith. You're not supposed to produce faith by yourself. Paul says to us in Romans, faith comes by what? Hearing. By hearing and hearing. Shema and Shema. Hear and hear again. Hear what? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God, or the words of Jesus. The more you hear, even when you don't have faith, the more you hear, faith just arises. That's why many times, those of you who have been here long enough in First Light, every time our worship host quote scripture, you will hear me say, Amen. Why? I agree. There are times I will tell you the truth, I don't feel like worshiping. But the moment I hear scripture being declared over this house, I hear the worship host or worship leader start quoting scripture, faith naturally, supernaturally arises because I'm agreeing with the word. I'm agreeing this is what God is saying. And so this is what happened is faith is not something you can produce by yourself, but faith is always a fruit, a response to who Jesus is. And the more we know who Jesus is, the more faith comes out. So it's not putting faith in our faith, right? This is not what it is about. But here is Jesus telling us this is the nature of Father. He responds to faith. Why? Because God is a very social, what I call sociable. God is a social being. God loves to talk to us. If you don't believe it, I'm telling you, why do you think we have 66 books in the Bible? It means God loves to talk to us. And God is very interactive. All this woman was saying, if I sneak up, I touch his helm of his garment, I will be okay. I can sneak back home. No one knows what really happened. But then the next part, he says, Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? Wow. Imagine you were a woman, you try to hide your shame and embarrassment, and suddenly Jesus is the one who touched me? You know, sometimes Jesus, this is like, sometimes you, like in our worship, like sometimes we want our kids to be very quiet because it's a solemn. Suddenly our kid just gave a scream and a shout like, oh, you feel embarrassed. So suddenly Jesus said, who touched me? His disciple was great. Oh, there's so many people pressing against you. How are we going to know? How are you going to know? And he move around, you, the lady there, you touch me, right? Now, again, social taboo. Woman not supposed to touch a man who is not a family member. So she's unclean. She went out, broke the law. She touched a man who's not family member, broke the law again. She's very close to getting stoned, right? Bleeding is going to come out of other parts of the body. But at this time, here was Jesus. You touch me. Why? Why did Jesus do that? Did Jesus went all the way to embarrass her? He says, he kept on looking around to see who had touched it, who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knee in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, what did he say to her? Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. I like this forward. Your suffering is over. Your suffering is over. Maybe today someone needs to hear it. Just say to your neighbor, your suffering is over. I can see your wife shaking her head to the husband. No. Say with conviction, your suffering is over. This is what it means when we learn to worship the Lord and we step out in faith. Why? Jesus was not there to embarrass this lady, but rather Jesus is declaring to everybody, as I told you, all the doctors were there to say that now this woman can be restored back to society, to community, because she is now clean. See, Jesus at that time was still operating within so-called the four walls of the Levitical law, right? The law of Moses. He was still practicing within the four walls of the old covenant. So he knew his law. He's saying that this woman, if no one ever declares she's clean or she has big hole, no one will accept her into society. So by doing that, because she can go and say to people that, oh, I'm healed. How you know I'm healed? There's no evidence. So Jesus was the one who restored her. So there's healing into her life. So Jesus doesn't let her go unnoticed. And this is how God is. Not like the song by Bette Miller years ago. From a distance, God is watching over us. God doesn't watch us from a distance. God is present with us. Amen? And God is also in us. And so His Spirit dwells in us. His Scripture speaks to us. That means, that's why I'm saying again and again, it is always easy to hear God. It's always easy to listen to God. And if we are walking with the Lord, I'm telling you, His Spirit will start to tell you about things, about people, not for you to be a busybody, to expose them, but rather God will teach you to minister to them of grace and love and mercy. But what happened next is amazing. The next text is it says here, Jesus went everywhere. Say villages, cities, or the countryside. They brought the sick out to the marketplaces. They begged him to let the sick touch at least. Where to touch Jesus? The fringe of his robe. And all who touched him were healed. Now, what is happening here? Sometime your own breakthrough help others to experience their breakthroughs. But sometime for you to have your breakthrough is a very difficult journey. Because there's reluctance, there's shame, there is burden, there's you think of the 101 thing can happen, right? But the moment you step into your breakthrough, you can tell other people who have the same problem. It's very easy. It's easy. How many of you have that? Right? I can tell you, in my 30 years of ministry, I've seen amazing miracles. I've seen powerful instant miracles. I've seen progressive miracles. I see signs and wonders. But there were a time when I was asked to step into those things. It was a very fearful thing. I have a spiritual father. He was well known in Singapore to be in the deliverance ministry. And so he said that, come, I'm going to teach you something you never learned from Bible school. He was right. How to deliver someone from evil spirit. So he would get us in his house and he said, okay, this brother or sister is now manifesting, have evil spirit. And he will put his hand on that person's belly and he begin to move. And God is our witness. You can see like a lump of flesh just moving up. Right? He said, oh, the spirit is coming out. Come, Richard. Put your hand on that piece of flesh that's moving up. So, of course, you are scared. Right? You touch it. I let go. I was frightened because it was moving. It went down. Why is that scolding me? You stupid man. Now I'm going to start over again. Right? He was doing deliverance. He was teaching us. He was scolding us half the time. And he goes, come, one more time. And this time, don't let go. Hold the demons in your hand. And it is through those early days of that ministry today, I'm no longer fearful of this kind of stuff. And so when people say, oh, I don't do deliverance ministry, easy. Come, put your hand on the flesh and see what happens over there. Fearful. But do you know, our own journey of our own breakthrough, our own healing of our own trauma, our own pain, our sicknesses, whatever it is, sometimes can be like the woman who suffered for 12 years. Sometimes we live with that condition for so long, it becomes part of us. That we don't think twice about it, but we know it is a burden, we know it is a shame, we know it is something that affects us deeply. But here, because of this woman's story, it's amazing. Those days, no internet, but everybody knew what happened. The villages, the cities, the countryside, they start bringing out their sick people from their house. Were the sick people allowed the house to begin with? No. Remember, they were still under the law. They should be quarantined, social distancing. They should be isolated. But because people heard the story of that woman's breakthrough, everybody now have faith. If Jesus passed by this town, passed by our village, they're going to get healed. All they need to do is to touch the fringe of his robe. We're going to see powerful miracles happening. And so they have that level of faith. They start bringing all the sick people, no matter how. Now, and maybe the sick person is protesting. No, I can't go out. I should be isolated. I should not be mixing with a crowd. Their families, their friends don't care. Because they say, someone experienced a breakthrough. Why should you be deprived of a breakthrough? And this is what happened. They brought them up. What can we learn here? The third lesson is, we mustn't be so reluctant to ask for healing. Now, many times, I can tell you, and you know, one day I was talking to Pastor Jeremy about my recent trip. I said, oh, I went to Thailand, I went to China, I went, didn't go to China, I went to Singapore, and every time I update him the places I went, I'll tell you some of the phenomenal signs and wonders I experienced. He often say, I'm so happy every time you go away, we come back, you tell me all this kind of refreshing story, how God begin to move. Right, so I was laughing. Yeah, God didn't move in Asia and Africa, but not in Australia. But I say, but God is doing something. Just like I told you last week, my friend who was first diagnosed with kidney tumor and it spread to his spine and spread to his brain, and God began to heal him. And I tell you all last week, amen, there's no more spots in his brain. God has delivered him. But he said during his hardest time in his life, what did he do? He said, I joined the church, the local church healing ministry. He could say, I need ministry. But I say, no, as long as I can still do it, I'm going to join the church healing ministry. I'm going to see something happen. Even does it happen to me, I'm always happy it happened to someone else. Amen. I think that is a mindset we need to shift. Is that many times we begin to say that, oh, if I pray for someone, I don't see anything. Or God heals some, God don't heal others. I think last week when we're having our prayer meeting at 2 p.m., I think the word God gave Rina was this, is that do not despise the days of humble beginning. Are we at least be humble enough to pray for someone? I think we should have that posture of humility to pray for someone and then say, Father, I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this with you. You go with me. I'm fearful. But Father, I have my own breakthrough story. You have done great things in my life. And I know you're going to do breakthroughs for other people. What was difficult for me, I'm going to make it easy for others. What is difficult for me, I'm going to make it easy for others. They don't have to jump through the hoops. You know, they don't have to crawl through the mud. My experience of God healing me is so powerful. I'm telling you, there was a time there was a growth in my cornea, and I begin to blink, I begin to feel a lot of pain, and I went to see a specialist. And I was that time a few years ago, holiday in Singapore. I went to see a specialist. He said, "Oh, this is very serious. Of course, that's why I see a specialist. This is serious, right?" So he said, "Oh, we need to operate on you, but just to tell you, it's more painful than cornea operation. It's more painful than a cornea operation, and there's no guarantee it won't grow back." So I listened to that person and I said, oh, how much is it going to cost? Oh, it's about $2,000. So I think to myself, $2,000. My God will heal me. So I prayed to pray. I said, okay, Lord, okay, you know better my condition than anyone else, right? You know, there's no guarantee. You can grow back again. You can do this and that. I said, Lord, you can heal me. You know, I told Joanne, I don't think we have money for next holiday already. That's it. Yeah. And within a few days, that growth just stopped. My cornea became clear. There was no more pain. So every year I go for my eye check, they'll say, you used to have something there. I say, yeah. But it's strange. How come it's not growing? It better don't grow. But what's difficult for me was because there was struggle, it's not about a financial issue. It was a lot of factors was involved in that situation. We were praying and we were saying that, and I said, okay, let's go back to the Father. What is the Father saying about this? You know, God healed me not end of the day to tell you a great story. God healed me is because what was difficult for my breakthrough, I'm going to make it easy for others who had a breakthrough. Why not? Because we are family of God. Why should my struggle not lead to something that I can give joy to, and the joy of my story or my testimony can help others to find that same breakthrough they deserve in their life. Don't you agree? Every one of you have a breakthrough story, right? Can we spend some time, okay, to talk about a breakthrough story over the next few weeks, whether we meet in our life group, even have a coffee, that I'll treat you. Tell your life, your own breakthrough story, because I believe your story is going to be pivotal for someone else's breakthrough. In closing, this is a text I want to share with you. Closing of Mark. Chapter 1, we know Jesus healed the leper. But now, chapter 16, Jesus told his disciple, the Great Commission, he said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And then he said in verse 17, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. How many of you believe? Then you must believe the miraculous signs will follow you. Not because you qualified, not because you're more spiritual, not because you have more faith. He said it will follow you. For something to follow you means you must be going somewhere. If you are sitting, it's not going to follow you. If you are walking, if you are running, you are journaling, you don't know what you are doing, you are moving forward, it says miraculous signs will follow you. And we know that happened to Peter, right? His shadow followed him. It fell on someone and someone got healed. Paul's handkerchief, apron was taken from him. It follows after him. Those who touch it was healed. And Jesus said this, if you go forward, if you dare to move forward, step forward in faith, all these things will follow you. Hallelujah. You know, I will tell you the truth. Sometimes some people I prayed, they didn't make it. This was part of my learning process. But some people I begin to pray, I begin to follow up, and it's amazing. Some of these things I hear the story later is how their life was transformed and how it transformed not just their life, but the lives of those around them. But it says here, verse 18, they will be able to place their hands on the sick. They will be healed. Today, laying hands on someone is very easy. But remember in those days, laying hands on someone was a very difficult thing to do because they are unclean. You are clean. The moment you touch them, you become unclean yourself. You become isolated yourself. You become quarantined yourself. But thank God we have a new covenant, a better covenant with better promises. It is our holiness that will infect other people's unholiness. Hear it one more time. It is our holiness that will infect other people's unholiness, not the other way, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. If you believe that, then you can keep on walking and you trust all these things will follow. These kind of things are not your credential. Oh, how many people are healed? Oh, let us talk about the disciples of old. How many people be delivered? How many people was healed under our ministry? That is not for us to boast. Because our breakthrough story must help someone else to have their breakthrough. And it says in verse 20, and the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. So what is important here is we must not be reluctant to ask for healing, but what's important, we must also dare to step into that place of healing, because it is the season of activation. Don't despise days of humble beginning, but also be important, don't be result oriented. Just because you pray for someone, nothing happens, oh, God's not using me, pray again. Years ago, I was sitting with someone in the healing ministry, and he came forth, he started to pray. 10 people came out with different kind of condition. He began to pray, and 6 person immediately received the instant healing. 4 person did not. And then he began to say to me, you are a pastor. The moment you see 6 person healed, 4 person not healed, what do? You hold a Bible study class trying to explain why 4 person not healed. Say, only a pastor would think that way. But because he say, I believe in God. If 4 person not healed, pray some more. See, sometimes too often, we are so result-oriented because we live in the first world. And we see nothing happens, we suffer from first world inconveniences. But rather, we should press on. If we pray for people, nothing happens, pray some more. Pray some more. You know, I can tell you many stories, you know, but one more story I think worth telling was someone that I know always had perpetual sore throat. And I was at the time, beginning of my ministry, and my senior pastor really moved in faith. He said, "Oh, sister, you always come to church, you're always coughing, you're always sniffing, you know, you like always try to clear your throat. Come, I pray for you." So he just went and grabbed hold of a neck and start to rebuild it. I was shocked at the time. I come from a very conservative church, you know. Shocked. That man grabbed the woman in the neck like a joke, you know, and began to rebuild. He said, "You know, I rebuild this cough and everything. And are you feeling better?" He said, "A bit." And of course, all of us are laughing in the healing service. He looked at us, also funny. And you know that from that day on, even though there was no instant healing, from that day on, she never came to church coughing and trying to spit out all that she needs to, because God was real. Church, don't be result-oriented. Be Jesus-focused. Be faithful. Tell your own breakthrough stories, because your breakthrough stories must have been a difficult story. But when you tell people your breakthrough story, you make it so easy for them that faith simply arises. It's not difficult for them just to receive. Won't you love that? I would love that. That says that whatever I've gone through, my whole life story, says that God not only loves me, but God loves others. Let's all rise at this time. And raise our hands right now, people of God, and just learn to receive one more time from the Father. Learn to receive whatever has gone on. Father, in Jesus' name, there are many here, or some of us here, may think like the leper, or think like the woman with the issue of blood. We have suffered, we have gone through much pain. And sometimes, Lord, it may not even be the sickness itself. It is the embarrassment. It is the shame that we carry. And Lord, it may not be a physical situation. It can be an emotional hurt or harm done to us. But in Jesus' name, I pray for breakthroughs to happen. Because I know that my story is not just my story, but my story is the stories of others. And I know that someone here has a breakthrough story happened years ago. And Lord, their stories will inspire others. Because Lord, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the gospel one more time. So Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for those who have been suffering physically for many years, that they think they're going to live with it. That Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you set them free. I also pray for those who have been harmed. I pray for those who have been traumatized in Jesus' name. It is your joy that makes them whole. So Father, I pray for restoration. And I pray that Father, in Jesus' name, that there will be the stirring of faith in such a real powerful way, not by our might, nor by our own strength, but by your grace, O Lord. Minister to every broken heart right now. Minister to every spirit who has been grieved, and I minister to every emotion that has been fractured. Bring restoration, Lord. Bring restoration. That as you say to the man, "I am willing," I know you are saying to us, you are willing to minister to us. And you say to the woman, "Your faith has made you well. Your suffering is over." Let it be true to us according to your word. Amen.